from Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org. I'm Nicole Ogrisco with the news on this day in Maine, Tuesday, March 18th, 2025.
This Day in Maine is made possible in part by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 25 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath. Open 7 days a week.
The Trump administration has given state officials just 10 days to agree to a list of changes to avoid a potential federal lawsuit over transgender athletes. Kevin Miller reports.
On Monday, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services said the Maine Department of Education, the Maine Principals Association, and Greeley High School had violated a federal civil rights law by allowing transgender athletes to compete in girls' sports. An 8-page resolution agreement then outlines how they can come back into compliance with Title IX. The Principals Association would have to ban transgender athletes from girls' sports. Greeley High School in Cumberland would then have to follow the new policy, and the state would have to return more than $180,000 in federal funds from HHS. Jared Bornstein, a spokesman for the MPA, says the group is preparing a formal response. But Bornstein read from a statement that, to be subject to Title IX, the group has to receive direct or indirect funding from the federal government. Only a small portion of the association's money comes from the 151-member school districts.
The vast majority of our funding comes from ticket sales, sponsorships, streaming, television, and other contracts. Therefore, it is MPA's position that HHS does not have Title IX jurisdiction over MPA.
Bornstein says the MPA also looks forward to a, quote, robust debate in the legislature over the Maine Human Rights Act's current language prohibiting discrimination based on a student's gender identity. Several bills are seeking to change that policy. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Kevin Miller.
A Lewiston-based health center is among those urging policymakers to provide relief from anticipated reductions in Maine care payments. The state is facing a $118 million Maine care deficit, and state lawmakers have repeatedly failed to pass a supplemental budget with a two-thirds majority to immediately fill the gap. As a result, hospitals have already had Maine care payments reduced. And the CEO of Community Clinical Services is worried they'll also see payments slashed. Colleen Elias says if lawmakers can't agree on a budget, then the Mills administration should use rainy day funds to ensure health providers can continue to care for patients.
I would say that this calls for that time. I would say it's quite evident that it is raining today.
Elias says she's already reduced staff hours in anticipation of reduced payments. And she says more than half of Community Clinical Services' 12,000 patients are covered by Maine Care. As the debate continues over how to close a $118 million funding gap in Maine Care, health providers, advocates, and Medicaid recipients are bracing for uncertainty at the federal level. Carter Friend is the CEO of York County Community Action Corporation, which operates Nassen Healthcare, one of Maine's 18 community health centers. He says Maine's Community Health Center Network studied the impacts of a potential rollback of the Affordable Care Act marketplace and Medicaid expansion. He says 1,400 Nassen patients would lose coverage, and the health center would lose $7 million in revenue. Friend says maintaining the same level of service would be impossible.
We will not be able to do that with those types of cuts. It's simply the numbers just don't work. It's not sustainable.
Statewide, the analysis estimates nearly 20,000 Maine adults would lose health coverage over the next 3 years, and health centers would collectively lose $118 million in revenue. Friend spoke at a roundtable in Portland today, organized by U.S. Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. Social Security Administration employees in Maine are urging the state's federal lawmakers to protect the agency from staffing cuts and office closures, saying it could have devastating consequences for more than 355,000 residents who use the benefits. The Department of Government Efficiency is reportedly considering cutting half of the agency's staff, as well as limiting phone support and closing some offices. The agency is already struggling to hire and retain employees, and staffing is at a 50-year low, says Christine Lazotte, A Social Security claims specialist and an officer of the union representing agency workers in New England.
People with disability already face long delays in receiving their benefits. This will make it worse. I agree with our foremost Social Security Administration Commissioner Martin O'Malley. These cuts will cause a meltdown of the system within 90 days.
Lizotte says further cuts would dramatically increase wait times. A new disability claim currently takes around 8 months to get an initial decision. But Lizotte says that could easily balloon to 18 months with fewer staff. Maine Senator Angus King joined 30 of his Senate colleagues to demand that the U.S. Department of Agriculture reverse its cancellation of two programs that supported local farms, food banks, and children. As Maddie Smith reports, Maine's free school lunch program is now at risk.
The programs provided $1.3 million to state, tribal, and territorial governments to purchase locally grown food and distribute it to food banks, schools, and childcare centers. Anna Corson, Policy and Program Director at Full Plates Full Potential, says these cuts, along with further expected cuts to federal funding, are putting Maine's free school lunch program in jeopardy.
This is certainly the first time that our School Meals for All policy has felt under threat, and that is really scary.
In a letter to Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins, the senator said the expected $1 billion in canceled purchases by the USDA will cause further pain at a time of high food prices and harm farmers facing unstable agricultural markets. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Maddie Smith.
Maine Attorney General Aaron Fry has filed a Civil Rights Act complaint against a York County man for threatening an immigrant from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Fry says Alexander Trushinsky of Kittery hired the Congolese immigrant to replace flooring in Trushinsky's business. But when the man asked for payment for his services, which amounted to about $1,100, Trushinsky responded with, quote, threatening, vulgar, racist, and xenophobic text messages and voicemails, according to Fry. Trushinsky also made sexual threats against the victim's daughter, according to a court filing. Fry is now seeking a court order under the State Civil Rights Act barring Trushinsky from having any contact with the victim or the victim's family. A knowing violation of the act is punishable by up to 364 days in jail and a $2,000 fine. There were 30,000 fewer travelers crossing the Canadian border into Maine in February compared to the same month last year, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection data. As Steve Missler reports, the one-month snapshot is part of a larger drop in northern border crossings following President Trump's imposition of tariffs and his rhetoric about Canada.
The CBP data show a 500,000 fewer land crossings from Canada into the U.S. in February compared to the same period last year. The timing coincides with the president's plan to assess 25% tariffs on U.S. companies importing Canadian goods and services, as well as his desire to annex Canada and make it the 51st state. His rhetoric has stoked a nationalist response from Canadian leaders and residents, with vows to avoid travel to U.S. vacation spots, including Maine. While Canadian visitors account for about 5% of Maine's winter tourism, officials here are watching for signs the busier summer season might be affected too. Maine Office of Tourism Director Carol Ann Ouellette says the state is still marketing to Canadian travelers in hopes that the state's friendly relationship with its northern neighbors will help mitigate any political and economic disputes.
We naturally are really concerned about everything that might dissuade Canadian visitors from coming to Maine. We want to certainly support the industry and make the experience as seamless and easy and simple and welcoming for Canadians.
Ouellette says the tourism office is still pursuing a Canadian tourism campaign. It currently has no plans to adjust the campaign's messaging to address bilateral tensions. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
Conservation groups have launched a $62 million fundraising campaign for one of Maine's biggest land conservation projects in the last decade. Landowner Bayroot LLC has offered to preserve 78,000 acres in the McGalloway region in western Maine. Supporters say the proposal will ensure wildlife habitat, climate resilience, and public access. Most of the property will remain owned by Bayroot, but a quarter would be permanently transferred to land trusts. The Rangeley Lakes Heritage Trust, Forest Society of Maine, Northeast Wilderness Trust, and Nature Conservancy say their goal is to have enough money for the deal by next May. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, a survey of Maine women's history. I'm Nicole Ogrisco. Thanks for listening.